Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It's time to get up with Aaron Rodgers. With the top seed locked up, the MVP favorite wants to take snaps Sunday. Is it the right play? Jerry Jones optimistic despite last week's Cowboy collapse. And we'll tell you if he's right to be bullish on his team and its most important player. And a rocky season for Russell Wilson. If he flies from the Hawks, can he reach superstar status again in a new home? We'll answer that and a lot more today on Get Up. So happy you could join us this morning. I'm Ryan Smith and Vergrini, and we are raring to go. Kimberly A. Martin in the studio with us. Mike Tannenbaum, Dominique Foxworth with us too. Everybody's raring to go. So let's get started with those Packers and Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers, the MVP favorite. Packers wrapped up the number one seed in the NFC this past Sunday. And yesterday, Rodgers made his weekly appearance on the Pat McAfee Show, where he was asked why he continues to play at an MVP level this late in his career. And his response was telling. Take a listen.
It really comes down to, pardon my French, but giving less. I think that it's a maturity comes from aging, from making mistakes, from failing, from being too sensitive at times, from taking things too personal at times. And it's about growth. There's a lot of joy in being unapologetically yourself. And I think in life, we respect people the most often who are that way.
Well, he is unapologetically himself, Kimberly A. Martin. What do you think about this, Kmart?
I'm starting to give zero you-know-whats about what this man has to say. He almost, like, I get, like, he's almost, like, on high, like, guys, this is what I've learned after so many years of reflection, enlightenment. We get it. You're enlightened. But it just seems really strange to me. It just seems really strange. Like, Aaron is just kind of explaining to us all. We're, like, at his feet sort of learning how to be better, more enlightened humans.
Nick, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Kimberly. What he said feels accurate. It feels true. Just about every word of it sounded true. But it's just that it's coming from him on the heels of all the other things that he says and does. It just comes off as a little unusual. But he doesn't care. So we can say and do whatever we want and reference him because clearly he gives no bleeps. And I mean, anyone who ever says that, obviously they care. Like, we all care.
He's the king of caring. Like, he is the king of caring.
Yeah. All of us care. Like, it's part of being human is you care. But the idea that you say it just seems weird. And given what he's done and said recently, it seems like he really does care quite a bit what a lot of people think. But I mean, for him to say that's the reason why he's playing well now is slightly confusing because he's been great his entire career. And he's suggesting that at some point he cared. I don't know. It's just a circuitous conversation, as many of them are with Aaron Rodgers.
And in that way, maybe not so surprising. But this one was surprising, guys. He was asked during that interview if he thinks he's going to play on Sunday, despite having wrapped up the top seed. Take a listen.
The plan is to play. It's a double-edged sword that often the media can use either way. If we go out and play, you know, we risk injury. What's the point of doing it? If you go out and then play great in the divisional round, well, of course, that's because they played last week. I feel like there's some to momentum, and I think it's important for us to keep that momentum going.
Okay, I understand the momentum part, but Mike T., I want to go to you as our GM. If you're the GM in this case, do you let him play with everything wrapped up and really not a lot to play for?
Ryan, there's a 0% chance I would let him play. We've heard for months about the toe. It's better, it's worse, it got stepped on. You have a bye, and for all the controversy about this whole notion of a 17-game season, they have the ability to make it a 16-game season for their best player. So if I'm them, I'm resting him this week, they get the bye. That gives him 3 weeks. And let's face it, as great as he is, he's not getting younger. He's almost 40 years old. So this is an absolute no-brainer. Aaron, you are not playing this week.
Yeah, and I get the momentum part in a way, but then doesn't that momentum break, Nick, in some ways when he gets the bye week? Maybe he takes a couple of snaps, but what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't play this week, that'll be back-to-back weeks because they have the bye of him not playing. I guess feeling comfortable matters. I tend to be more cautious when it comes to football. I'd rather take more rest than more risk of injury. But I think it'd be interesting if they kind of treated it like a preseason game, gave Aaron Rodgers and Adams, guys like that, a quarter, maybe a half, and try to get them off the field so that they feel comfortable. But 2 weeks without football is a long time, so I understand his desire to play. But we would all be calling them all very stupid if something happened to that toe or his shoulder or anything happened to his body in that game. So I think I'd be like Mike. I'd be on the scary side. You better sit down, put bubble wrap around him. If it takes you a quarter to warm up in the divisional round, oh, well, we're just going to have to run that risk.
Exactly. And the other thing is, I know he mentions the media might twist this in some way. Kimberly, I have a feeling he brought this up so the media could talk about it.
All right. As a member of the media, this is not a media creation, Aaron. These are just the facts of the situation. There is a momentum component to it. It is different because they have the bye, but we've seen other teams that have the chance to rest guys and then the next week or the week after come out slow. There is truth to it, and there is truth to the fact that if you do play, you could get hurt. It's 100% injury rate. Those are the facts. It is not something that we're just making up. The question is, what does he feel comfortable with? He's saying he's playing. I would love to see Matt LaFleur say, actually, buddy, no, you're not. I think if Aaron wants to play, Aaron is playing. But I, like Neek was saying, I think a quarter, a half at most, because of the injury risk.
And you talk about the comfort part. Mike, I got to come back to you on this, because if he's your quarterback and he comes to you and says, no, I need this for my comfort, I need it for momentum, do you then change your mind and say, okay, get in there for a quarter or two?
No, I wouldn't. Again, I would maybe make practices a little bit more competitive, but I wouldn't let him play because of his age, the fact that David Bakhtiari was out for most of the year, Elton Jenkins was out for most of the year. It only takes one hit to change the entire trajectory of the offseason. So there's ways to keep momentum. There's ways to keep you sharp. But there's zero chance that you are playing this week. Let's be really clear about that. And now you have 3 weeks off. And let's figure out the best way to use those 3 weeks, because there's no way you're playing this week. And we got to get you ready for the divisional round.
Especially in terms
Aaron's
of wrestling.
Aaron's not listening
that
to
toe.
Mike Tannenbaum.
No
way.
Mm-mm. No? Not on this
he
show. Doesn't
play because Mike Tannenbaum.
It's not his choice. He's not the head coach. It's not his choice.
Good point. Good point. And by the way, speaking of whose choice it is to play or not, the Cowboys. We'll have to talk about whether or not they will play their stars. They're sitting at 11-5 entering the final week. Game coming up this Sunday against the Eagles. But their defense is allowing over 350 yards per game. The worst mark among current playoff teams in the NFC. The run game's been an issue. No Dallas players rushed for 75 yards in a game since Zeke ran for 110 against the Giants back in week 5. And then there is Dak. He has been a better quarterback at home compared to on the road, with a 23-2 touchdown to interception ratio at AT&T Stadium and 9-8 in away game. Here's Jarrah on Dak yesterday.
I'm very pleased with what Dak has been doing. And I can appreciate the challenges that we're facing from the defenses that we're playing. But in general, I'm going to say not thrilled to death. I'm ecstatic.
Wow. Neek, are you pleased? No, not just pleased. Are you very, very pleased with
are
what
you
you're seeing from the Cowboys?
Are you thrilled to death?
Yeah, I mean, I've made it a habit since I've known Jerry Jones or known of Jerry Jones to not believe anything that he says. So, like, I don't know that he feels the way that he's saying, but I think he's saying what he thinks is the right thing to say. Mm. It's hard to have watched the Cowboys over the last, I don't know, quarter of the season, maybe more than that, and not have some level of concern. I think we have to accept that they are who they are. They're a boom or bust team on offense and defense. So, yeah, there should be some concern if you expect or want some sort of consistency. They don't have that. So, yeah, I'd be concerned if I was Jerry Jones. Although I would say, given what we expected from this team before the season started, they've already overachieved. But now the opportunities are so few and far between in this league, they have to capitalize on this roster that they have right now.
I'm glad you brought that up. And I know we have fun with Jerry, but you're mentioning overachieving versus what we thought earlier this season. But, Mike, when you look at Dallas, it always feels like there's a Super Bowl or bust aspect to them. So on that basis, is what you're seeing on the field matching what Jerry is saying and the expectations that are on this franchise?
Not consistently. They're the best team in the NFL when they're healthy. They have the best offense and defense, that combination of the two. My biggest concern is Mike McCarthy's clock management. He cost them the game the other day. It's clock management 101 that you need to have at least one timeout in your back pocket until there's 2 minutes to go in the second and fourth quarter. Even the fact that Matt Prater was out there with Kyle Murray, you still keep one timeout. And when you think about offense, defense, special teams, and clock management, that is a massive concern because when healthy, this team has as much talent as any team in the NFL this year. But if they don't clean that up, they're not going to get to where they should be able to go this year.
That's key. Maybe they use Week 18 to implement a new system. But Kimberly, I wonder if they play the starters in Week 18 and what they do for that.
Well, that's why I found it interesting that Jerry expects the starters to play because, again, it's Jerry's the owner. He's not the coach. And especially when you have a Philly team that has a serious COVID outbreak, guys may come back. They're dealing with their own things. They might decide that they can't start some guys. But when you look at this Cowboys team, what I want to see from them in Week 18 is, can they actually start fast? Something that they didn't do against Arizona. Can they stop the run? Can, as Mike Tannenbaum mentioned, can we go into next week's shows not talking about Mike McCarthy's terrible game management, his clock management, his decision making? Like, that would be great if we could just not talk about the Cowboys being a disappointment because of how loaded they are. When they are playing at their best, they are the best team in the NFL if next to the Packers, right?
Yeah.
They are one of the best teams, but we keep talking about them as though they're not meeting expectations. So as much as they are better than they were last year, you still see failed expectations. And that, I don't know how Jerry can look at that and say, I am thrilled, maybe not to death, but I'm ecstatic.
but you make me think, and going back to Mike's point, the clock management part. Neek, the team has obviously been struggling in a couple different ways. They're lacking in consistency, as you mentioned. But the last thing you want is your head coach putting you in bad situations at the end of games. What do they need to do to right that ship at this point?
I don't know. It's been a wayward ship for quite some time. I don't think it's going to get right. I think this is who Mike McCarthy has become as a coach. And I do think that, well, to Kimberly's first point, Jerry Jones is not the coach of this team, but he kind of is whatever he wants to be in that organization. So he can make the decisions that he wants to make. But back to the clock management stuff, it's really unfortunate because the issue that they had last week, it's one that I guess we could consider excusable. Like, every team I played for, we practiced for situations like this. Like, we had veterans who knew what decisions to make when there were these type of weird substitution things. We should give some credit to Kingsbury for the decision that he made to put them in that situation. But the reason why I am upset with what happened last week is because it's a sign of several things that have happened before. Like, if this was a one-off incident, I'd be more prone to say, okay, Mike McCarthy, that's fine. They got you this time. But it's not. They've been having these warning signs since the beginning of the season. I'd love to see them address it and fix it, but I don't think there's much to fix. I think this is how Mike McCarthy, this is kind of his philosophy. These are the way he makes decisions, and it's unfortunate. It could hurt them. It hurt him last week. It could hurt him again in the playoffs.
Yeah, can you imagine against teams like that? If you can't write that now,
Mike Tannenbaum would be ticked off, so ticked off.
We just go by what we see, and if you don't like the result, fix the process. Yeah. Fix the process now so they have a chance to win.
Speaking of fixing the process, is Jim Harbaugh the man to fix NFL teams' prospects? It was a season of redemption for him in Michigan, but is he thinking about leaving his alma mater? And is that a good idea? We'll talk about that. Meanwhile, Jim's brother says his superstar quarterback might be able to play on Sunday, but with the Ravens' playoff chances slim, is putting in Lamar a good idea?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger?
Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Get Up, and this is the Harbaugh block of the show. Our next stop, Ann Arbor, where Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh may be interested in an NFL return. That's according to Bruce Feldman of The Athletic. Harbaugh finally beat Ohio State en route to a Big Ten title and college football playoff berth for Michigan this season. Now, it's been over 7 years since we've seen Harbaugh in the pros, so just in case you forgot, he was the 49ers coach from 2011 through 2014, and in that span, he won nearly 70% of his games, the best record of any coach to debut in the league since the 1970 merger. In that four-year span, he had three NFC championship appearances and a Super Bowl appearance. So, Kimberly, Harbaugh, back in the league. What's your reaction?
My first thought was, this man finally has some success at Michigan. Finally, after he's been criticized, can he win at Michigan? And now we're talking about him possibly bolting to the pros. And I'm sort of like, must be nice, right? but then I thought about it. We all know that you've got to sort of maximize your leverage when you've got it. And he's not going to be hotter at Michigan than he is right now based off of how the past years have gone. So it makes sense. He's got a proven track record in the NFL. Unlike an Urban Meyer, we have seen Jim Harbaugh in the NFL have success. So to me, it makes sense if he wants to come back.
So, Mike, I wonder, you look at this, what do you see in Jim Harbaugh as a potential head coach if you're a GM? Do you look at this as a slam dunk hire?
Absolutely. Similar to what Kimberly just said, before he got to the 49ers in 2011, according to our guy Hembo, San Francisco had 8 consecutive non-winning seasons. That's really remarkable. So 8 years of not having a winning season, and then they go to the Super Bowl. So unlike an Urban Meyer where there was massive risk, if you're a head coach, an owner or a GM hiring a head coach and your job is on the line, you take great comfort in the fact that he got a team to a Super Bowl. He's turned around Michigan, albeit it may have taken longer than some people wanted to. So I don't think there's any risk whatsoever given his track record at the NFL level.
It just strikes me as so odd. Just this time last year, they were looking to run him out of Michigan. So many people were saying that. Yep. And now look at where he stands. But, Nick, I wonder, as a player perspective, from a player perspective, what do you see in Harbaugh as a coach?
I think the things that you guys said, they're right on. Like, he has the credentials, the track record to gain respect. But I'm surprised that everybody's so surprised. Like, this seems quite obvious to me. The man won his money back. Like, he had to give some money back because he wasn't successful. So now he's floating this story to The Athletic that he might be tempted. The man just won a raise. Isn't that what you do when you're a college coach or you're a coach of any kind? You want some more money, you tell people, I might be tempted to leave. I think he's committed to Michigan, as committed as a head football coach can be. But I think to his credentials as a football coach, he's shown the ability to do it at both levels, from Stanford to Michigan to the 49ers. He would be a coach that I would consider, but I do think you have to understand that what Kimberly just said, he's had some success at Michigan, but he didn't have the type of success that people expected of him until just this year. The idea that he would jump ship to me seems unusual. Just get a man the money that he wants and let him go back to coaching the Wolverine.
Go ahead, Mike, jump in.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about this? The inverse, though, is fascinating to me, which is he's been successful at the NFL, where guys as even like Nick Saban was under 500 at Miami. So, again, I've hired three head coaches. You're always keeping yourself up at night. Like, can this guy take us to where we want to go? The answer is absolutely yes with Jim Harbaugh. He's done it. He's demonstrated his ability. Even arguably the greatest head coach in college football wasn't successful at the next level. So when you inverse this discussion, Jim Harbaugh, to me, is a very comforting and conservative hire at the NFL, if that's something he wanted to do.
The track record is there. Yeah. And if you're a GM, like you say, Mike, at least you can say we hired him, he did it before. So if it doesn't work out, it's not necessarily based on the history and the facts. So we'll see if he ends up making that jump. Now, from one Harbaugh to the other, shall we? Let's talk about the Ravens. They still have a very slim chance to make the playoffs heading into the final week of the season. The big question is, will Lamar Jackson play against the Steelers on Sunday? Now, according to Coach John Harbaugh, The Ravens quarterback is pushing himself, and there is a chance that he might be available. Now, as it stands, Baltimore only has a 4% chance to make the playoffs, according to FPI. How do they get in? Four things need to happen. They need to win against the Steelers and hope the Colts, who are playing the Jaguars, the Chargers, and the Dolphins all lose this weekend. So, in other words, doesn't really feel like it's going to happen, does it? Nick, should Lamar play if he's not 100%?
I mean, no one's 100%, but I don't see the point in playing Lamar. This is a Lloyd Christmas game. You know that movie, Dumb and Dumber? So you're saying there's a chance.
Like that.
Just because there is a chance doesn't mean that it's worth taking it. I don't understand, especially considering how well Huntley's been playing. Or, well, I wouldn't say that Tyler Huntley is a replacement for Lamar by any stretch, but he's playing well enough that he gives your team a chance to win in most games. And you don't have a chance to make it deep in the playoffs. I understand that when players get hurt, particularly lower body injuries, you have to compensate somehow, which puts more pressure on other parts of your body. I would hate for Lamar to go out there and have a worse injury in a game where they have a 4% chance of making the playoffs.
And Kimberly, you have an interesting story. You talked to people about, because you covered the Ravens last weekend,
game. I did, and I'm covering them this weekend. I'm covering Steelers-Ravens this weekend. So heading into last weekend, Ravens-Rams, I actually spoke to Aaron Donald about Lamar and the uncertainty around the Ravens quarterback situation. And I said, you know, if Lamar is anything but Lamar, that's advantage to you, right? And he's like, yeah, if he's got an ankle, obviously he's not going to be moving around the same way. Now, he did say Tyler Huntley is similar. He's not as dynamic, but he's similar. So when you're game planning for the Ravens, you're not thinking it's going to be vastly different, right? But here's the thing. With Lamar, even if he makes a mistake, you still believe that, okay, he throws an interception, cool. He's that dynamic. His game is all about instinct, feel. You believe that he's going to be able to make a play that's going to get you the lead back or win you the game. Tyler Huntley, watching that game, he's played well for a backup forced into this spot, right? But watching that game against the Rams, that pick to Jordan Fuller late in the first half, that's the reason the Rams were able to come back in the game. That shifted the momentum in that stadium. So Tyler Huntley is not the same caliber of player as Lamar is, and I don't think he can compensate for the mistakes that he makes.
See, I think there's another factor at play here. Let's not forget Lamar's looking for a new contract this offseason. Mm-hmm. He's had some injuries. I wouldn't be surprised if he's out there, if he feels good enough, going to management, Mike T, and saying, look, I want to get in there. I want to play to show you that I'm a gamer and I can play through tough times. So what do you do with him on the offseason looking at his contract situation and his history?
You have to pay him. He's an MVP. He's a young, dynamic player. He's been hit 821 times since 2018, which is 100 more than anybody else. So as soon as you sign that contract, if you're the Ravens, you go to bed every night really, really nervous. And you may be signing Tyler Huntley to an extension at the exact same time, so you know that you have an insurance policy, knowing that he could miss a couple games every year. But you certainly do everything you can to keep him.
That would be a lot of money dedicated to quarterbacks, but maybe that's what they have to do. Now, speaking of quarterbacks, Tom Brady. Boy, did he lose another huge weapon this past weekend. We all know about that. Why help is on the way for him, but will that be enough for the Bucs? Back with you on Get Up, and let's talk about those Bucks. 12-4, currently the number 3 seed in the NFC. FPI says that it is the likeliest spot for them after week 18 as well. Now, Tampa has won 6 out of 7 despite a flurry of injuries that could impact its playoff chances. The biggest one being their leading wideout, Chris Godwin, who was lost for the season, but there are a handful of others down, including on the defensive side when Jason Pierre-Paul missed the last 2 games. Shaq Barrett missed last week. Richard Sherman has played 3 snaps in the last 3 games. And don't even get me started on the whole AB thing. But let's talk about their Super Bowl chances. And Mike, look, we can talk until we're blue in the face about how great Tom Brady is. He's done so much with so little in the past. He gets it done. He's the GOAT. I get it. What's their best chance to win shorthanded with where Brady and this team is right now?
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
I don't think they're shorthanded. It's going to be using two tight ends, Rob Gronkowski and Cam Brate. For 20 years at the Jets and the Dolphins, we had to defend Tom Brady. And the thing that was so frustrating is he's a game plan specific quarterback. Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians will do whatever it takes to win. So you put Leonard Fournette on the field. Cam Brate can get open. He's a good receiver. Look for them to try to control the middle of the field with him and Gronk. And what's frustrating is once you eliminate the outside, which obviously now with Godwin and AB gone, they're not the same. They will do what they have to do to win games. And to defend two really good tight ends is very difficult from a defensive perspective. I think they evolve on the fly here, and they're going to be very difficult to beat in the playoffs.
Interesting. So, Neek, do you believe Brady is done winning Super Bowls at this point, or will he repeat?
Oh, man, we're doing this again today? Yeah, we have not. I've not been piled on enough. I mean, my opinion hasn't changed, and I understand how great Tom Brady is. But this situation is going to be difficult. Winning a Super Bowl is always difficult. And Tom Brady left New England because he felt like he didn't have the requisite weapons to win a championship. Now it feels like through no fault of his own, he's again in a situation without those weapons. And not only the offensive weapons, the defensive production. Like we think about those teams that Mike is talking about he struggled with, those were always good defensive teams because the team gets much less explosive offensively if you have a tight end centric offense. So you're going to need a defense the same way they needed a defense last year with those big play receivers. The defense made so many big plays for them throughout the playoffs. They're going to need the same thing or Tom Brady to outscore everybody without any of his top receivers and a limping running back. And I guess Evans is one of his top receivers, but he's hobbled now also. So to me, it feels unlikely. I feel like I'm using reason and logic to come to a reasonable conclusion, but I know that someone's just going to come back to me and say, but Brady's magic. And I don't know. I don't believe in magic. Call me crazy.
Kimberly, what do you think?
You know what? I just think Dominique's a hater because what I really hear him say is, well, it's just hard to win. It's just hard. Like, it's hard to overcome. Well, yeah. I mean, the problem with applying logic to Brady's whole career is that it defies logic. Whatever, the man is living right. I don't know. He's got, like, whatever he's got, what, call it magic, like, it works. And he has, to your point, right, he's done a lot with less before. I think the reason you believe in this Bucks team is because of Tom Brady. That's just right. Like, he's the GOAT for a reason. So you can't say that, oh, well, because he's lost some guys, they have no chance, or he's not going to ever win a Super Bowl again. If you want to say that and you want to be on his next documentary, you do that.
I can't wait.
You do that, my friend.
I can't wait. I'll be happily improve the ratings of his next documentary with my handsome face. However, I will say that everyone, since yesterday when I said this, the response overwhelmingly is that I'm the crazy person, despite the fact that I come with logic and reason, and you just said, but he'd be doing it all the time. Like, that to me is not, at least Mike
he's,
T gave some
not,
sort of
like,
pass.
That's the whole by point, using, though. That's
I think we
point.
Just have to settle this by saying he is magic. I think we just have to accept it. And Neek just has to believe. Okay, guys, let's move on to this. Mike T, I'll hit you with this one.
I am a hater.
Keep or move on. And let's start, Mike, with Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield. Would you keep him or move on?
I've been saying this for a year. You got to move on. When you're slow and short by NFL standards, you can't win. And that's why we see balls get batted down. He gets hit a lot. They cannot win a championship and compete against Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson in Cleveland with Baker Mayfield as their quarterback.
Okay, let's move on to the 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo, keep or move on?
Yeah, you know, Ryan, we're going to keep him. We've seen so many injuries this year at the quarterback position. They have a really good team. Why not try to keep him if you can at a reasonable contract? And with Trey Lance, now you have depth at the most important position. Maybe you trade him down the road. But if I could, I would keep him because I think depth there is so critical.
Wow, even with Trey Lance back there. All right, Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins. Keep or move on?
I'm moving on. I've had enough of Kirk Cousins in Minnesota. He's highly paid. He's a good quarterback. He is not a great quarterback. And what is the path for them to win the division if Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay, which we know is a massive question mark? I just think there's a ceiling on Kirk Cousins. He's had a really good year, but is he ultimately going to get you to where you want to go? And if you're paying at the top of the market, you want a difference maker, and I just don't think he's in that category.
Okay. And Mike, I want to take you more to the quarterbacks, okay? Let's talk about your quarterback rankings. You put out your list of top 10 quarterbacks right now. And let's take a look at it. Aaron Rodgers with the top spot, followed by Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. The eye-openers to round out the top five, Joe Burrow at four, Matthew Stafford at number five. So I ask you, Mike T, you got Matthew Stafford in the top five. Do you trust him come playoff time? And by trust, I mean he doesn't just win one playoff game or perhaps go right out, but really make a run for these Rams.
Yeah, I'm really not sure. He would have been lower, but I watch Get Up every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on Mondays, and Dan Orlovsky tells you why Matt Stafford's so good. I have concerns because if you go back to 2009, he's never won a playoff game. He's had 12 years to do something in the playoffs with Calvin Johnson, and he didn't play great this past week. Kimberly, you were there. That pick six was hugely consequential. But on the other side of the coin, they've won five in a row. They are the second seed in the NFC. We have to give them credit. But guys, I don't think there's any player in the NFL who has more pressure heading into the playoffs than Matt Stafford. Let's put this into context. Jared Goff went to the Super Bowl with this Rams nucleus, and they gave up two first-round picks to move on from Jared Goff to acquire Matt Stafford. So the pen is in his hands. He could erase 12 years of doubt and uncertainty. And he has played well. All of the numbers support it. The tape supports it. They are the second seed. But, boy, there is a lot of pressure on Matt Stafford.
Yeah, and you talk about how he's played. Kimberly, I saw that Ravens game. You were there. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like they should have been running away with that game. Mm-hmm. And they were not getting it done. And Matthew mm-hmm. Stafford was the main guy who wasn't getting it
mm-hmm.
done.
You pretty much summed up that game. That's basically it. I was in the stadium, and you against a hobbled, depleted, desperate Ravens team, and the Rams just come out. And this is what we've talked about. Mike did a great job outlining all the wonderful stats of Matt Stafford's career. But what we're left with are moments where he does put his team behind the eight ball. We do see him throw. Like, this is the Ravens team that just started getting defensive guys back from COVID, from injuries. That game, his interceptions, that was the story of the game. Because at the end, we're talking about, oh, you guys, what a great comeback. Matt Stafford and Odell, this is great. Except Matt Stafford's the reason they were in that hole to begin with. Yeah. And that's always going to hang over him until he gets – it's not just get to the playoffs, not just get to the wild card, not just get to the division championship. It's you have to win the Super Bowl because Jared Goff did that. Well, not winning, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, and by the way, speaking of Dan Orlovsky, you know what, Neek? He was here on Monday, and he said, look, 42 fourth-quarter comebacks. Matthew Stafford, that's who he is. But still.
Why are they comebacks, bro? Why?
I was just going to ask you the same question.
Kimberly already answered why it's comebacks, and we all love Monday Dan Orlovsky because he gives us something fun to talk about for the rest of the week because it's always at least one to three absurd things that he says. But I do think that I believe in the Rams because of Donald, Floyd, Miller, Ramsey, Cup, Odell Beckham. Like, these are the reasons why I believe in the Rams, and I believe that Matt Stafford has the ability to bring them back if they get down. But I don't believe in them solely because of Matt Stafford. I think that he obviously is an upgrade over Jared Goff. The numbers prove that out. And when you watch the game, you feel more comfortable with Matt Stafford than you would have with Jared Goff. But that isn't high praise. And he can cost them a game just like he almost did last week. But he can also put them back in a great situation. I'm not sure how much more you can ask for a quarterback who's not like a top tier superstar level quarterback than what Matthew Stafford brings. I think some of the problem is people have cooked up these high expectations for Matt Stafford because he has some wild throws that make you think that he's able to be Aaron Rodgers-ish or Patrick Mahomes-ish. He's not those guys. He's below them, but he's still pretty good.
Yeah, it's like we want him to be something he's not, and all he has to be is somebody who basically leads them to the Super Bowl, which is asking a lot.
That's it.
All right,
magic. Just get some magic.
What a jam-packed January sports calendar we have for you. Our NFL Week 18 doubleheader is Saturday. The national championship game between Georgia and Alabama is next Monday. Super Copa, the Australian Open, the first ever Monday night playoff game, and UFC 270. A little bit of everything this month on ESPN, ABC, ESPN2, and ESPN+. Let's talk about Russell Wilson. He leads his Seahawks into Arizona this Sunday. Will this be the last time he suits up in a Seattle uniform? I'll ask the experts next.
Delicious, meat nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions for you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Welcome back, where we give Dominique a series of 3 hard-hitting questions and he answers them. Okay, Dominique, I take you back to 2004. The first 3 quarterbacks off the draft board, Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, Big Ben. Rank them now.
All right, I think I'd go Ben, Eli, Rivers, if we're ranking their careers. Yeah, I think that it's obvious that Rivers is better than Eli, but since their careers are over, if you ask me who's on-field career, and to be very specific, on-field things only, I take Ben's career over either of those guys. And even though Eli was very up and down, the 2 Super Bowls, 2 Super Bowl MVPs, 2 of the greatest throws in Super Bowl history, like I take that over Phillip Rivers' career, even though he was a better passer. His teams didn't go as far. And frankly, I don't think he'll be as well remembered for the great career that he had in San Diego as people will remember Eli for winning 2 Super Bowls for the Giants.
Wow. And when you think about it, when they were drafted, nobody ever thought Big Ben would be the best of the 3. Now the Packers have the #1 seed clinched. Would you take them or the field to win the NFC?
Again, I'm going to rely on logic and reason, and I'm going to take the field. The Packers are a very, very good team, and I think they are the best team in football right now, and they've earned their #1 ranking, but they are not infallible. Like, they have issues and flaws, and they can lose. They need to win 3 games in a row, including the Super Bowl, and I think it's more likely that they will lose to someone than that they will win the Super Bowl, but I think they are the most likely team right now to win the championship than any other team. But, of course, I'm going to take the field. Anything could happen. It could be injuries. They were in 2 close games with the Browns and the Ravens recently, who no one believes are going to be Super Bowl contenders. So this team could struggle, though they're the best team in football right now, in my view.
All right. I like the appeal to logic and reason. All right. Which team most underperformed this season, right, relative to your expectations?
Yeah, it's those same Browns that I just mentioned. I think that they underperformed relative to everyone's expectation. I think that there's enough blame to go around in an organization, but the one person I wouldn't blame is Andrew Berry, the GM. Like, that roster is loaded. Offensive line is one of the best in football. They have 2 Pro Bowl-level running backs. At the start of the season, they had 2 Pro Bowl-level receivers. They have outstanding talent at tight end, first-round picks, and I haven't even gotten to the defense where they have Garrett, who's a defensive player of the year type of guy. They brought in Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who's an outstanding player. They signed John Johnson, who may be the best safety in the league. Denzel Ward's one of the best corners in football. Like, this roster, it has no holes. But somehow they lost in a division. They lost, not even did they lose the division, but they didn't make the playoffs with a team that had a very impressive playoff win last year. So the expectations for this team were high, but they were fair. And I think they would admit that they've been the most disappointing team in football this year.
And you mentioned the team has no holes, but, you know, the big hole everybody talks about with this team is Baker Mayfield. Kimberly, I ask you, how can I put this? Can Cleveland get to a Super Bowl with Baker at quarterback?
Can they get to a Super Bowl with him at quarterback? Yes. Because of all the things that Dominique just pointed out, the roster, this Browns team, Kevin Stefanski, don't ask Baker to do a whole lot. Unlike other quarterbacks, he's not asked to take over games, win games, bring them back. And in the moments where he's had opportunities to do that, he hasn't. But I think the biggest issue to me with Baker is more of a self-awareness and maturity thing. We can't fix his hype, Mike Tannenbaum. We can't fix, you know, we can't fix certain things, right? But the self-awareness and immaturity is an issue to me because he's talked about being banged up. I'm really banged up after losses. Losses where he hasn't played well. But after wins, we don't hear about how banged up he is. I think Baker has to understand that he is one of the big issues with this team.
And Mike, look, I agree with Kimberly and with Neek. This is a loaded team. So since this team is so loaded, they're so great at so many positions, why can't Baker be the guy to lead them to the Super Bowl?
Because he can't even lead them to the playoffs. When you're height and speed deficient, there were no expectations for this team because when you're height and speed deficient by NFL standards, you're going to get hit a lot and get hurt, which he did. You're going to get balls batted down left and right, which we saw the other night again. And when you have the third best quarterback in the division behind Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow, who, by the way, are young and high character, so they're only going to get better, you don't even have a chance to win your own division and ever have a home playoff game. So they can't even make the playoffs, let alone the Super Bowl. So they have to answer the question in a very honest and sober way, which is to trade him, because he's still one of the 32 best quarterbacks on the planet. About a third of the NFL will be looking for quarterbacks next year. And then they should go maybe with Case Keenum short-term, and then draft his replacement. But they're struggling to make headway in their own division, let alone a deep playoff run.
And then if they even thought about trading him
last year, to be fair.
That is true.
You said he can't lead him to the playoffs. He did do it once.
Once.
That is true.
Once.
Okay. And by the way, to trade him, the other question you have to ask is, who's going to take him in that trade? What do you get back for him? So, speaking of quarterbacks, let's talk about another quarterback with an uncertain future, Russell Wilson. Earlier this week, Adam Schefter reported that there is a league-wide feeling that Wilson and head coach Pete Carroll will not be together next season. Carroll was asked about Wilson's future this week. Take a listen to what he had to say.
The kind of conversation we have behind the scenes are not in line with the rumors. Okay? There you go. No, they're not at all. We've been talking, we've been together and connected throughout this whole season, and that's why it's easy to dismiss those at this time.
All right, so fair enough. But, you know, when you talk about Russell and Seattle, one of the major problems in his career has been his protection. Since entering the league in 2012, Wilson has taken over 400 sacks, about 42 a season. That's the most of any quarterback in their first 10 seasons in the league. So, guys, I bring you back. And Mike T, I'll start with you. I'm not only going to ask you where you think he might end up if he does leave, but do you think he can regain that superstar status after a down year, given all the hits he's taken over the years?
Absolutely. He's done a remarkable job of taking care of his body. He has great lower body flexibility. And if he has two touchdown passes on Sunday, only Peyton Manning will have more touchdown passes through their first 10 years. So he's played at a high level. I fully expect him to continue to do that because he's taken such great care of his body. And maybe he goes to a place that has a better offensive line. So I think he's truly one of the two, along with Aaron Rodgers, that would be a transformational acquisition for another team who's in need of a quarterback.
And where do you think he ends up?
I think New York or New Orleans. And the day he walks through that building, and I've been there. I've traded for Brett Favre with the Jets. Your groundskeeper, your video director, everyone gets excited. And what did we see with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay? An aura of association. And ask Eli Manning and Tom Coughlin and Phil Simms and Bill Parcells. When you win in New York, there's nothing like it. And if he went to the Giants, the day he walks through that building, everything changes. And who knows what other players would walk to New York to play with Russell Wilson in the Big Apple.
the Giants. Neek's face is saying what I'm thinking. Neek, what do you think?
I mean, those other quarterbacks, like, they had defenders, they had players around them. I don't know if they're going to be able to sign all these guys that you think that Russell's going to be able to bring there. I don't think that's a realistic place where Russell would want to go. Living in New York, it's probably awesome. Winning in New York, fantastic. Being bad in New York, like, the amount of attention that Joe Judge and Danny Dimes is getting right now, like, it's not fun to be bad in New York either. I'd much rather be awesome in New Orleans than boo-boo in NYC.
And Mike, look, I respect you so much, but Kimberly, New York, did we not just see what Joe Judge did just a couple of days ago?
Yeah.
This team is 4-12.
Yeah. But I actually could talk myself into New York as a New York City native. Because it's the Big Apple. He also has a superstar wife. She's got some say in this too. But putting the Giants aside, I actually think the Steelers and the Saints make the most sense. The other Mike Tomlin, he wants a vet QB. And they've got strong defenses, run games. That's what Russell needs.
I can't get my head out of New York. I don't. I just don't understand.
You can survive here.
You can go anywhere you want, and you're gonna pick the Giants.
But you
gotta
survive
at this moment.
But you gotta survive. It's gonna be real hard to survive.
Some people can't. Some people can't, Neek. Some people can't.
Go ahead, Mike. Real quick.
I'm not gonna be able to.
But if you're successful, ask Derek Jeter. You're successful for the rest of your life.
Don't get out here with these ifs.
Logic. All I deal with is logic.
All right, I got to go to break. Coming up, Aaron Rodgers was on Pat McAfee yesterday. He addresses critics. He also said he plans to play this weekend in a meaningless game. We unpack a lot in moments.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.